thank the elders for having me to come and to present messages to you on this week. I've met many people on this morning, and all of you gave me your names. I thank you for that. That's all I'm going to say. But as we come together on this week, we're going to start out on this morning looking at all according to his will, all according to his will. This is Bible class. I would like to have Bible or class participation as we go through this lesson and look at and talk about all according to his will. The will of God is whose will we're talking about. Understanding that if we try to do anything without him, that thing that we're trying to do is useless, and really and truly to say it is worthless. Because God needs to be in every plan, everything that we do, all aspects of our lives. God needs to be included because he is our creator and he has given us all that we need in order to survive in this world. And so we start out and we go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Brother Dunn, if you would, read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture. And we have a problem, and I say we, I'm talking about man in general. We have a problem when we see that word all, because a lot of times we want to omit some things. We want to take away, we want to subtract, however you want to say it, whatever word you want to use. The things that are in the Word of God from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, all scripture is breathed out by God. And as we think about all scripture, again, we have to understand that there are some things that were commanded for them and there are some things that are commanded for us. And even looking at them, I'm talking about the children of Israel, the things that were commanded to them, they were supposed to keep those things exactly the way God told them to. And we come fast forward to the New Testament and we find that there are different commands for different people. And as we think about different commands for different people, we look at there's a role that the man plays, a role that the wife plays or the lady plays, and then there's roles that children play, husband, wife, and then children. And each one have commands that God have given them that they must keep in order to be pleasing unto him. And so we look at, again, 2 Timothy 3:16, when it mentions that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That is exactly what he means right here as Paul writes this, that all scripture is given out by the inspiration of God. And so when an individual asks the question, what must I do or what shall I do? What do you want me to do? We need to be able to point them to the Word of God so they may understand what God wants them to do. Now, when God tells us not to do something or to do something, what does he expect? That's a question for you. Anyone, just shout the answer out. What does he expect when he tells us to do something or not do something? What does he expect us to do? Be obedient unto what he says. Okay? So when God speaks, man should listen. When God speaks, man should listen. How does God speak to us today? Through the Word. That's how God speaks to us. But do you know what you have some people say? God spoke to me last night. What makes you special? What makes you special for God to speak to you? A separate, you know, from his word. There's not one of us that God is speaking to apart from his word. And so therefore, we need to look at his word and we find out what he says. But what we want to look at this morning, we're going to look at three individuals during this class period. All right. And then we're gonna be on time. We're gonna stop on time. I don't want Brother Dunn to run me out of the pulpit because, you know, It's going to be a discussion. All right. I have a mic on, right? I turn it off when we start discussing. All right. Uzzah. You all remember the story of Uzzah? And the question is asked from time to time, why did Uzzah have to die? Why did Uzzah have to die? And again, did he have to die? That's two questions, isn't it? First, why did Uzzah have to die? Someone want to answer that question? He disobeyed what God, not just what God told him. There you go. He disobeyed what God had mentioned to the leaders. And whose responsibility is it to pass the message on to the next man? It would be the leaders, right? Now, the next question then is, did Uzzah have to die? He didn't have to, did he? He didn't have to. And how would that have been the case? How would that have been the case if he didn't have to die? If he would have obeyed, if he would have listened, he would not have had to die. But so be, he did not listen and he had to die. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting with the first verse, David again gathered all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, who sits enthroned on the cherubim. And they carried the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill of Uzzah and Ahio. The sons of Abinadab were driving the new cart with the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Now listen to this next part very carefully. And there's something that we need to understand as we read and look at this and know who's in control of all things, okay? Someone read those three verses for me, 5, 6, and 7. They were doing what they thought was best. Okay? This new cart driven, you know, by the oxen, and they're going now across the threshing floor. What's significant about the threshing floor? What type of a ground is this? Someone say it loud. Y'all know anything about threshing floor? Are you sure? Anyone else? What type of ground is it?
Where they separate the wheat from the chaff.
Where they separate the wheat from the chaff, okay? Is it smooth? Was it rough? What caused the oxen to stumble? Say again? Maybe soft ground, possibly. Come on, somebody! I know somebody's going to be looking it up on their phone, going to tell me exactly what it is. Who's that person? No one want to take hold of it? All right. The threshing floor. The oxen crossing the threshing floor, the oxen stumbles. What causes us to stumble from time to time? Is it because we're on rough ground? Is it because we're on soft ground? Because we're on smooth ground? What causes us to stumble from time to time?
Balance.
We stumble over our own feet, don't we? You ever heard the old saying, you'll stumble over a blade of grass. It's saying something about that person, but these oxen, here they are pulling this cart, and they stumble, the ark is shaken, and Uzzah does what? He just reaches out. Did you have your hand up before I asked that? Oh, okay. Okay. He was showing me what he was doing. He just reached out to grab hold of the ark, to stabilize it. Say again? Reflex. That's the way we are, right? Somebody stumbling, we try to catch them. We stumble, nobody try to catch us. Okay? But when the deed was done, had he done, or was he doing what God wanted him to do? Answer is no, he was not. He had no right to try to stabilize the ark. He had no right to even have in his mind that if something happened, I'm going to assist with getting this ark together. Right? Let's go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 6. Joshua 3, verse 6. Again, we have to know again, we have to listen to what God tells us to do. And if we don't listen to what God tells us to do, we are going to be in trouble. We are going to be in trouble. Joshua 3:6. I know we had some more to read there, but we just go ahead and go to Joshua 3:6. Uzzah did not do what God wanted him to do, so therefore Uzzah died. Okay? Joshua 3:6. Would you like to read that? Yes. So this is what you're supposed to do. You take up the Ark of the Covenant, you go ahead of the people, and everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. Just do what I tell you. You know, it's what we tell our children sometimes when they want to ask that question, why? How many of us, you know, submit an answer to that? Why? And if you do submit the answer, what generally is the answer that you submit? We have some moms in here. I didn't hear no dad say anything. Dads, what do you say? Oh, my goodness. Because your mama said so, he's trying to stay out of trouble, huh? But the answer is because I said so. That's why. Why was Uzzah not supposed to touch the ark? Because God said so. No ifs, ands, and buts about it, okay? Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Verses 14 through 16. Someone in the back, please. Who was supposed to carry it? The priest. Was Uzzah a priest? So he wasn't even supposed to touch it. Wasn't supposed to touch it, okay? So that's what we get when we look at and we answer that question, why did Uzzah have to die? Because a lot of people think that, you know, he didn't mean any harm. You know, his heart was in the right place. God knew what his heart had in it. He knew that Uzzah didn't mean no harm. But again, God, when he says something, he means what he says. And that's what we have to follow, okay? All right, now which one of you all have gone and looked up threshing floor? Go ahead. Yes?
Circular, and they would spread it all the feet out. They would drag a really heavy rock or mat over
Okay.
So the oxen would break it up, and it says, usually, because the entire pool was covered, you couldn't see anything underlying. But it was very, very smooth and hard surface.
All right. Smooth and hard surface. And the oxen stumbled. Again, that's why I mentioned, you know, people walking and they trip and you look, they look down. Like, what did I trip over? And it was their own feet. Or that blade of grass. And the oxen in this case, they stumbled. Was it because the straw or the shaft was on the floor? I really don't know, but I do know the floor was smooth and it was hard. And it doesn't seem that like, you know, this is a place where they would stumble, but they did. And we find out why this is in God's word. Because God wants us to understand that when I say something, I need you to be obedient to it. Okay? All right.
No.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And he was really in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we need to use good judgment. Keep out of places that can lead to sin. And to some, like you said, his heart was right.
Right.
But it's what we, it's just like sometimes people will think about someone who is older and hasn't been baptized and now is not in position. Maybe the bedridden or whatever. They can't be baptized. God's not going to hold that against them. Well, they used bad judgment while they were not better. And so we just need to do the right thing, obey God always.
So I want to ask you a question. Are you a preacher? Yes, sir. I know it. I'm messing with him because that's part of my lesson this week. Okay? We'll come back to that. But you're absolutely right about all that you've said. Bad judgment. Bad judgment. Okay? And we're going to leave it right there. Bad judgment on others' part. Okay? And them building that new cart. All right? Next one. Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu. All right. You find again the command from God, the voice of God. You take fire from the sacrifices, you know, and you put it on your censer. This is the fire that I'm going to accept. Only fire I'm going to accept. I'm not going to accept anything else. Did God have to say that? That I'm not going to accept anything else? All he has to do is tell you one time what he wants. He don't have to tell you what he don't want. Okay? And so you look here in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3. So I'm going to go ahead and read it. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3.
Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And for all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron knows.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and read verse 1 and 2 first. Go ahead and read that, 1 and 2. Keep going.
Then Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord has said. Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified. And before all the people, I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace.
I find that very interesting. Here, Nadab and Abihu died. And now Moses is talking to Aaron, his brother. Who's the father of Nadab and Abihu? Aaron. If your child dies, how do you feel about that? What do you want to say about that? There are times where individuals lose a family member and they want to complain to God. They want to blame God. But why did these two have, why did they die? Why did they die? It was disobedience. Now everybody that dies is not because of disobedience, but these two died because of disobedience. They offered strange fire unto the Lord, unauthorized. Now they were authorized to offer fire to the Lord, but they offered unauthorized fire unto him. Now when this happened, Moses again is talking to Aaron here, and after he finished talking to him, what did he say Aaron did? He held his peace. And I would say that's a good thing. Because you have no right to complain. You have no right to say anything that happened to them when that fire from the Lord came down and killed them. Because they were in disobedience. God expects total obedience from his people. When he says something, he expects us to do exactly what he says. And when we don't do it, we have to suffer the consequences. You know, we may commit a sin today and we may repent of that sin, but there may be consequences that we have to suffer and just, you know, live through it. Hold our peace as Aaron held his. We may need to hold ours, all right? Leviticus 16:12. Someone read that.
So, take a fire pan, we'll call the fire on the altar to the Lord. Two handfuls of fire on the ground, sweet incense, and bring it to the fire.
All right, so the fire was going to come from the altar. You know, that's where the fire was supposed to come from. But they took fire, strange fire, and put it on their censers instead of the way God had directed them to do it, the way they were told to do it. And again, no matter what we think, you know, all the time that we come together to worship God, being people of God, our worship is not always acceptable unto him when we're not doing it the way he wants us to do it. And we have many people today that are gathering together to worship God, and they are worshiping him in vain. And so we have to consider what we're doing. Is God accepting it? Has God told us to do it the way we're doing it? And are we offering it to him exactly the way he's, you know, in a fashion that he will receive it? All right. Any questions about Nadab and Abihu or any comments? Questions or comments? Yes, sir. No excuses will be accepted, you know, and so he made none. Joe? Not at all. Right. So no stranger at all. You know, sometimes people say, you know, you have to go through some things in order to appreciate some things. Well, Aaron had gone through some things, and you know, again, what God did, yes, he took his sons away, but he still had his life. He still needed to be obedient unto God. And we, you know, again, we go and we read the story of Moses and Aaron, you know, their mission, what they were supposed to do, and what they missed out on because of what, you know, they wanted to do instead of what God told them to do. All right. All right. Next one, Saul. Saul. 1 Samuel 15, and we're gonna be here, and this is where we're gonna end on this morning. 1 Samuel 15. Verse So when we read the first five verses, what's the command? Utterly destroy all. There's that word again. All. Everything that's there. Everyone that's there. You destroy them. All right. Is that too hard to understand? Simple, isn't it? Saul is what now? What is he? He's king. He's been anointed king. He's been told what he needs to do from the Lord. Okay? A king here, in this case, he gets his orders from the Lord, what he's supposed to do. Now, he, in turn, tells his men, now that's key, tells his men what they're supposed to do. And their men, the soldiers, are supposed to follow his command. All right? Yes, sir. Okay.
Saul acted on his own. Nobody told him to do anything like that. God had already told him what to do.
Okay.
Nadab and Abihu acted on their own. Nobody told them to get some other kind of fire. They did what they, because that's what they wanted to do. That's what Saul wanted to do.
Right.
I look at it a little bit different with us. Certainly, we're quick to blame. Rightfully so, because he disobeyed God. But that's not where the sin started.
What?
It started way back with the priest. The cart shouldn't have been there. The oxen shouldn't what? Have been there. And if they, and Uzza was wrong, but if the oxen hadn't been there, if the priest hadn't made the decision, and the oxen hadn't been there, and the cart hadn't been there, if they were carrying that the ark of the covenant the way they should be, Uzza wouldn't have been involved.
Okay, so your take on it is, why did Uzzah have to die? And
because he sinned,
and we go and we look at them, you know, building this new cart, and now trying to do something that they think is right, but they're doing it in all the wrong ways, and Uzzah is in the wrong place, as Brother Wright pointed out earlier, wrong place at the wrong time. Okay, and the oxen stumbles, and he reaches out and tries to stabilize it. And it is, yes. Right, it starts somewhere else. It started somewhere else. Yes, it did not start with him.
We always blame
Uzzah. No, it's no blame to Uzzah. The only thing that Uzzah has to take, blame for is reaching out to stabilize that ark. So the responsibility is still going to fall upon him. Anybody else could have done it as well, but it just happened to be us. He just happened to be, you know, close enough to it in order to reach out and try to stabilize it. But yes, if all others would have done what they were supposed to, they wouldn't have been in that situation. Maybe.
So we can cause people to sin, although they don't intend to.
What?
By using some other way of doing things.
You can, and again. It's going to fall back on choices, decisions that we make. As Saul would state, you know, all I did from then up until this point, I did it with a clear conscience, but did not make what he was doing right at that time. And so, yes, that's, again, Uzzah, you know, just happened to want to do something good, but that good caused him his life. All right? Yes, sir.
supposedly are doing good things for God are going to perish. And they will, because they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're making their own agendas.
Okay. Has to be God's way. Yes, sir.
What Dale said is true. The us also could have spoke up when they started to put the ark on the cart. Everybody could have spoke up. Said, hey, what? This isn't what God said to do.
What?
And I heard the point made, probably made it myself. That ark was in us's house, in his father's house. Maybe he had a little too much familiarity.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Could be true. Now y'all thinking, right? Before the end of the week, y'all gonna know how I really feel about thinking. Go ahead, brother.
A couple of things. First, when we think about us, we're never gonna get this all. But when we think about him, we think that the leadership, it's so important to have good leadership.
Yes.
We're blessed here to have good elders. You have good men to serve as elders. It's important because a lot of times, Steve's right. Like when the eldership makes wrong decisions that are unscriptural, then members should have the courage to do it right.
Okay.
But too often, we're going to go the direction of the leader. That's what happened with Israel in the Old Testament. They just followed their corrupt king.
You are.
And so it is important to have real good leaders that can keep us on track. We should appreciate that. This, number two, though, when you think about that whole business of building the new car, whose idea really was that? Because we think about, even we all need to realize, good people can make mistakes. Because it was really David's.
Yeah.
He's the one that led them to build that new car. So it doesn't matter who you are. Good people sometimes are susceptible to doing these things.
What?
David did. He was a man after God's own heart. But sometimes he made bad decisions.
He did. He did.
You just have to be real careful about it.
All right. Anybody else? That's the first bell. I know we have two more to go. All right. Okay, so we don't have long. Let's get to Saul, and we'll find out why Saul, you know, did what he did. Why did Saul do what he did? All right. So we find that he's given the order to go and just destroy everything. Men, women, the animals, everything. Destroy them. All right? Now, let's just go ahead and go through it. Did he do that? Did he do that? How was it found that he did not do it? How was it found out? The bleeding of the sheep. What you say you did, but what's that bleeding of the sheep? And what was his response? Now, we talk about responsibility. What was his response? He claimed the people what? The people saved them for the sacrifice. Did God ask for that? What did God command to do? You destroy everything. Okay? But I saved the best. The people wanted me to save the best. I saved the best for them to sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay? Verse 10 says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, and he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early in to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. Okay? Again, the Lord has rejected Saul from being king because he did not follow his word. Why does God reject us? It was mentioned that there's a lot of people gathered together in a place, and you're trying to tell me that God is going to, you know, cast all of them into the burning fire, come to end, in the lake with burnt with fire and sulfur, just because they did one thing wrong? And the answer is, one thing will cost us our lives. It will cause us to have to suffer that second death. So therefore, we need to look at what God says And we need to do exactly what he tells us. Dropping down to verse 22. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of divination and presumption, as in iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. Because you rejected. You can blame whoever you want to blame, but it's going to fall back on you when you do not do what you're supposed to do. So God rejected him because he did not obey the voice of the Lord. All right? Any questions? When God speaks, man should listen. All right? But all right, you got something else?
Yeah.
I figured you did. Save it for next Sunday. All right. Any questions or comments? I really do appreciate you all again to be here and to present lessons this week. I find it a good thing, and I'm glad that, you know, the weekend ended well, and the week has begun well. And so we're looking forward to having a good time with you on this week, fellowshipping and sharing God's word with you. So I thank you very much for your time.
It is time for us to begin our service for this morning. I want to welcome our visitors.